Tehran's International Petrochemical Forum warmly welcomed by foreign companies despite the West's economic sanctions. The intelligence ministry busts an espionage ring working for the CIA. NATO fuel tanks again targeted in Pakistan. And anti-globalization protests in Le Havre ahead of next week's Group of Eight summit. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello and a very warm welcome. The International Petrochemical Forum of Iran opened in the capital city of Tehran with representatives from 25 foreign companies in attendance. The two-day event sets the stage for further expert consultations between Iranian and international companies, both in the state-run and private sectors. New technologies, investment opportunities, global economic recession and the future of petrochemical industry in Iran and the Middle East are among the issues top on the agenda. Speaking at the Congress, First Vice President Mohammad Reza Rahimi said 75% of necessary equipment for oil and petrochemical fields are produced by Iranian experts. As for international investment, Rahimi said several initiatives have been included in the fifth development plan to prepare the ground for stronger presence of foreign companies in the upstream and downstream sections of Iran's petrochemical industry. President Ahmadinejad says the government is to set up a national development fund as part of efforts to help spur economic development and production in the country. The chief executive announced that in a gathering of charity workers donating for the cause of building schools across Iran. Ahmadinejad also said about one-third of the existing schools in the country have been constructed since 2005 when his government took office. The president touched upon Iran's progress in the industry sector, including auto manufacturing, and added that the ground is prepared for the Iranian nation to take a giant step forward. He added as an all-time annual record, some $21.5 billion worth of investment has been channeled to the infrastructures nationwide in the previous Iranian year, and that the government targets twice the figure this year. Iran has dismantled an espionage network working for the CIA inside Iran and abroad. According to a statement by the Iranian intelligence ministry, 30 people spying for the United States have been arrested. The statement says the spy network promised to ensure the Iranian citizens' visas, residence occupation, or higher education abroad in exchange for information regarding Iran's nuclear, aerospace, defense, and biotechnology fields, among other areas of interest. According to the statement, the suspects had passed information to U.S. officials at embassies and consulates in third countries. The intelligence ministry has also identified 42 U.S. intelligence officers in various countries. Iran is urging Economic Cooperation Organization member countries to create an effective structure for fight against corruption. The remarks were made by head of Iran's General Inspection Organization, Mustafa Pourmohammadi, at the first meeting of heads of anti-corruption bodies of ECO in Tehran. In his speech, Pourmohammadi said corruption is among the major challenges of the world governments since it has a direct connection with the rights of citizens. The senior official then referred to several cases of corruption in the region and said closer cooperation among regional countries will contribute greatly to the anti-corruption campaign. He also signaled Iran's full readiness for more cooperation with the international community in that regard. Tehran and Islamabad have urged the need for unity among the Islamic nations in the region in the face of divisive plots of the enemies. The Iranian and Pakistani presidents got on the phone Saturday evening when President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad pointed out that the common enemies of Iran and Pakistan are seeking to achieve their unholy objectives through fueling up insecurity and weakening the regional countries. Ahmadinejad added, "The enemies are not loyal friends for the regional nations, although they occasionally support certain governments against some others." Asif Ali Zardari, for his part, emphasized that Pakistan will always remain a close friend for the Iranian nation. Tens of thousands of protesters filled city centres throughout Spain late Friday, saying they will stay in defiance of a ban on election eve gatherings that was due to come into effect at midnight. Protesters, angry over Spain's high unemployment rate, built a camp in Madrid's central square a week ahead of nationwide elections. Citing the mandatory end of campaigning on Friday, the National Election Commission banned protests Saturday or on election day. But with midnight looming, there were large gatherings of mainly young people in central Madrid and dozens of other Spanish cities. The protesters see the unemployment rate as the national political party's ineptitude in dealing with a deep economic crisis. At least two people died following an explosion at a factory belonging to electronics maker Foxconn, that is Foxconn Technology Group. Foxconn is the world's biggest contract electronic manufacturer, with customers including Apple Incorporated, Sony Corporation and Hewlett Packard Company.
An explosion at a factory in China said to produce iPads leaves two people dead and at least 16 injured. The blast happened on Friday night at a Foxconn factory in the Sichuan province. An Apple spokesperson said they're working with officials to determine what caused the blast. The plant is currently suspending all production pending an investigation.
Now a look at some other stories in brief. A bomb attack on a NATO fuel tanker headed to Afghanistan sparked a huge fire that killed 15 people who had been scrambling to collect petrol leaking out from the bombed-out vehicle. The dead were all civilians, nine of them from the same family in Landi Kotal town. They were collecting petrol to be sold later in the open market. Earlier, 11 other NATO supply vehicles, most of them oil tankers, were destroyed at a terminal in nearby Torhan town, but there were no casualties. Thousands of anti-globalization activists took to the streets of the northern French city of Le Havre to protest next week's Group of Eight summit. Along with the activists were representatives of dozens of trade unions, anti-nuclear groups and other leftist associations shouting, thieving bankers, we are the Republic. Le Havre locates 40 kilometers from Deauville, where the G8 leaders will get together on May 26th. Alassane Ouattara is inaugurated as president of Ivory Coast, which he hopes to reunite following a bloody crisis caused by his predecessor's refusal to concede election defeat. Ouattara said at a ceremony attended by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon that the time has come to renew the founding values of our beautiful Ivory Coast and to reunite Ivorians. The 69-year-old Ouattara took the oath of office on May the 6th, about 4 weeks after Laurent Gbagbo was captured for refusing to cede power following November elections. Thousands of opposition supporters rallied in the Georgian capital calling for the resignation of President Mikhail Saakashvili, accusing him of authoritarianism. Chanting protesters marched past Parliament, where scores of officers with shields and batons assembled near the building. The opposition accused Saakashvili of maneuvering to stay in power as Prime Minister under a constitutional shake-up that would shift power from the President to the Premier in 2013. Saakashvili has denied the accusations. Residents in the Colombian Caribbean state of Sucre have been forced to flee their homes after heavy rains left a vast area underwater. According to the National Disaster Prevention Office, 125 people have died in Colombia since January in incidents connected to the weather. At least 500,000 others have been affected, while an estimated 90,000 homes have been damaged. Normally, the first rainy season starts in Colombia in late March and ends in June. Iranian wrestlers started their campaign in the 21st Asian Greco-Roman wrestling competitions. On the opening day of the continental sporting event in the Uzbek capital city of Tashkent, Mohsen Hajipour snatched the bronze medal in the 55-kilo category. That came after he outpointed an Indian opponent. In the 60-kilo weight class, Abdul Muhammad Papi beat a Kyrgyz rival to secure the bronze medal. Competitions in the remaining five weight categories are scheduled for Sunday. Zobahan of Isfahan won a decisive match against Mahram of Tehran at the fourth match of the final round of Iran's Basketball Premier League. Mahram won the two first quarters of the match but lost the two other quarters to Zobahan. The match finished 73-71 for Zobahan as the team reached its second victory against Mahram. The two teams now have two victories and two losses, meaning the final winner will be known at the fifth match in Tehran on Monday. Rescuers fear for the lives of a pod of around 20 whales, which appear to be about to beach themselves on a remote Scottish island. Whales try often to beach themselves when they are unwell, but healthy whales are likely to follow. Here is a report.
These whales are bobbing for their lives off the Western Isle of Scotland. A pod of at least 20 pilot whales with possible head injuries are at risk of beaching themselves, marine wildlife officials say. Because this particular species of whale tend to stick together, even the healthy whales are at risk. Officials say it's unclear why the whales may have become injured. Last October, more than 30 pilot whales were in danger of being stranded in the same location. But despite returning to sea, they were later found dead off the coast of Ireland.
Well, that's it for this edition of IRB English News. Thanks for tuning in. Weather report is up. Bye-bye.